You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host, Adam Mates.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm, of course, your Adam Mates, a free agent in the NBA blogging world, but not for too much longer. Stay tuned. Continue to stay tuned. I know a lot of people have been staying tuned for a while, but some big stuff ahead. Really excited. Really, I get more excited each day to kind of unveil all the different projects myself and several others have been working on. I'll just leave it at that. Really cool stuff up ahead. Today's episode of the show, it's going to be about wish lists or one area I hope each player has improved this summer. So coming into this season, one area, we're going to look at players, all the players on the roster that were on the Nuggets roster or were in the NBA. So the only guys we're not going to talk about, Michael Porter Jr., Bol Bol, and Vlatko Chanchar. Michael Porter Jr. and Bol Bol, of course, they didn't, you know, play last year, so to say where they should improve, it's kind of crazy. Not going to compare them to their high school and college tapes or anything like that. And then Vlatko Chanchar, same thing. I mean, just quite frankly, haven't, you know, gotten a great look at him because he's playing in a European league and whatever. So not going to talk about Vlatko, but am going to go through everybody else because I just have more familiarity with them and their games, and I think there'll be a lot to talk about. So it's going to be a fun episode. I'm going to do that in segments 1, 2, and 3, and I'm going to kind of work from the end of the bench towards the front of the bench, ending, of course, with Jokic and starting with Jared Vanderbilt, who today had a video, a workout video, and you got to love summer. You got to love the workout video in summer because you get that, you know, I had some people writing me on Twitter today like, look, he added a jumper. He's got a jumper now. As if, like, first of all, we saw Vanderbilt 2 months ago, right? We saw him in July at Summer League. He did not have a jumper. So the idea that he could add a jumper between July and September, he's been playing basketball his whole life. He has had those injuries, of course. If you're not familiar, Jared Vanderbilt, highly ranked high school prospect out of Houston, the city of Houston. He went to the University of Kentucky. In high school, he had an injury, kept him out of large portions of that career, and then he had an injury when he got to Kentucky. So he's been a little bit injury prone, but he's extremely talented in a lot of different ways, very uniquely talented as well. He's been compared to Ben Simmons. I like the Pascal Siakam comp. Although none of these, anytime you comp players, especially unique players, I think you do yourself a disservice if you take those too seriously. It would be like saying, you know, Jokic is a Pau Gasol-type player or a Marc Gasol-type player. It's true. I mean, they're in the same vein. On the spectrum, they're closer to each other. But if you think that you understand Jokic because, you know, you get the reference to Marc Gasol, you don't get him. And in the same way, I think with Vanderbilt, you know, he's a really unique and talented player, and he's sort of like Ben Simmons. He's sort of like Pascal Siakam, but he's not that much like those guys. Just little pieces, little hints you can see from him. But he had this workout video, and I'll say a couple things. One, Vanderbilt's handle is one of my favorite parts of his game to watch. I don't think it's the most valuable part, but there's a foundation in place. He's got a lot of strength. He dribbles with a lot of speed and just a lot of power. And for a guy his height, he's really skinny, so I shouldn't say his size, but a guy his height, it's pretty rare to have that tight of a handle. Almost another player he gets compared to that's a really good comp is Lamar Odom. Now, Lamar Odom sort of like an ideal, in many ways, an ideal version of Jared Vanderbilt. But both guys just have this great handle, and you can see that in the video with Vanderbilt. You can see that he's got that aspect of his game, and when he's working in an empty gym or working in light work one-on-one type stuff, it really, really shines. How that'll translate to the NBA right now is hard to say. I thought at Summer League we didn't get nearly enough of Vanderbilt sort of running the point, not playing point guard, but just running the point in offense, handling the ball and making plays. I wish we could see more of that. And one of the drawbacks about not having a G League team is, I mean, Vanderbilt's the type of guy at the University of Kentucky, he changed his game to kind of fit in. But I would love it if Denver had a G League team to sort of say, you know what, you're the most important player on this team. He's not going to be that for whatever team he gets lent out to in the G League. I mean, they have their own players they're trying to highlight. But if he was there in Denver, you'd say, we want you to handle the ball as much as possible and kind of just see if that works, see what that looks like. But he has that. I would say with his shot, you know, he's making them. Of course, it's a video. You're only going to show the makes. His form still, to me, while a little bit better, that guide hand, he's a lefty, so it's the right hand is his guide hand. it still kind of falls in front of the ball a little bit more, like quite a bit. And I think that's until he can get that guide hand out. There was a great story about Monte Morris and how he really improved his shooting by they would glue his trainer glued or taped not glued taped his fingers together on his guide hand so that he couldn't like grab the ball. Instead, it would just his guide hand would literally just kind of be there so the ball doesn't fall off. And I think Vanderbilt, his problem's a little bit more difficult because he's putting the ball in his hand in front, but it's the same effect in that, you know, you just create an extra variability with a ball. The release is not going to be that clean when the ball's there. It should just be on that side, and your shooting hand, in that case his left hand, is really doing all of the work. So I wasn't that impressed, I don't think, with his shot. But nonetheless, you know, he's just such an athlete. He's got such a unique skill set. For him, so he's the one I'll talk about the most because of that video, but for him, I hope that he works on his finishing at the rim. Not concerned about his shooting. Obviously, it's a concern. He needs to get better at it, but I just don't think he's going to make that improvement. But he can make an improvement at his finishing at the rim. He's such a great rebounder. He's going to be a great driver. Like with the ball in his hand, he can make really quick one dribble moves, explosive moves, and get by his defender, especially slower power forwards. But if he can't finish at the rim, it's going to be a moot point. It's a wasted skill. So for me, that would be the number one thing I would look at for him. Juancho Hernan Gomez, defensive foot speed. Juancho's such a fundamentally sound, like, offensive player, and he does so many things well. Defensively, there's a number of things you could talk about, but I think for him, the biggest is just foot speed. I don't know. You could add strength. It was between that and strength, but I think actually he's the type of player, and his body type is such that he's never going to be strong enough to guard your Paul Georges and LeBron Jameses, but he can get a lot quicker with his foot speed, and I think that allows him to play the three, the true three, a little bit better. And that's one that I have more confidence in him being able to sort of gain. There were moments in the World Cup, by the way, where I was impressed with his defense. What little I saw of it, of course, I didn't get to watch every game, but there were moments where he was needed to make some plays defensively, and he did a good job. Torrey Craig, ball handling in the pick and roll. This is Torrey Craig. I think a lot of people would say 3-point shooting, and that's true. Look, if he becomes a 40% 3-point shooter, then you know he's a very valuable player and almost certainly going to be playing a lot of minutes for Denver. He's not that. I would be shocked if he was a 40% 3-point shooter, but I think he can be a better playmaker in the pick and roll, and he has to be used. I've talked about this a lot, so I won't hammer it home too much, but if he can just be a little bit better at attacking the basket without turning it over and just kind of picking those spots, I think it'll be a huge win. But as it is, he errs and the team errs on such a side of caution with him that often he's just not even an option in the pick and roll or the dribble handoff. When he gets it, he just kind of swings the ball and gets it out of his hands. And then lastly, in this first segment, Mason Plumlee, free throw shooting. Mason Plumlee had a sneaky great year last year. He was really, really good, and he's such an unsung hero all around anyway. And his free throw shooting was up to 56%, which is, you know, just slightly below his career average. But he's had a couple years where he was 61, 62. He had a 64% year. If he can get back up to that 64, 65, that's well above the hack a Plumlee line. You shouldn't hack a player if he's shooting that well. So I would say with Plumlee, that's it. I mean, the other areas he can improve are areas he's not going to. I mean, he's one of the older players on the team, and he's not going to really change who he is. But his free throw shooting could see a nice improvement. It's realistic to expect that. So hopefully we see that from him, and I think that'd be a huge boom. Going to take a break. When we get back, Malik Beasley, Monte Morris, Will Barton, Jeremy Grant. We'll be right back. Today's episode of the show sponsored by Peloton. Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. All right, let's talk about Malik Beasley. What would you ask for him? I think Beasley, really another guy that had a really good year, another guy that I think, you know, Tim Connelly's phone's going to be ringing off the hook this year with people trying to snag him if he's available. one way he can make himself not available, and you have to remember, Denver might not have the cap space to keep him. I mean, the way it would work out, there's a really good chance that Denver just can't afford to keep both Gary Harris and Malik Beasley. So either Beasley's going to outperform Gary Harris or close enough that Denver thinks, oh, maybe he'll pass him one day or whatever. But the only area I could see that happening, the only way, is if he kind of repeats what he had last year offensively, maybe even makes a leap with his ball handling. But for me, if there was one thing, one area where I could really see a leap in him, where I could choose the leap, it would be in his defensive focus and execution. You know, he tries. I think he's a guy that really wants to be good defensively. But the NBA game is such, I think, who was it? Steve Nash was on a podcast, maybe with Bill Simmons not too long ago, and he said, it's all about sports, like the guys that succeed at the next level. And they were actually talking about soccer, but this, I think it really pertains to basketball and really all sports. He said it's the speed of play. That's the toughest thing to adjust to, is the mental decision making at each level you go up, from high school to college, college to professional. It's that mental decision making. Vlatko Chanchar did a great blog post on Nuggets.com that he talked about this exact same thing, that the hardest thing he's having to adjust to is everything just happens quicker, so your decision making has to speed up. For Malik Beasley, you could tell he's been in the league. Athletically, he's as quick as anyone, as explosive as anyone in the league, by the way. Malik Beasley, a tremendous athlete, he's in the top like 20 athletes in the NBA, I would say, maybe higher than that even. But defensively, you can just see that he's a step behind mentally all of the time. And it's gotten better over the years. There's no question about it. He's improved. But there's still a leap to be made if he's going to be a real like defensive force or defensively impactful player. So if there's one thing I could pick, it's just that his decision-making on defense speeds up just a little bit. Monte Morris, this was a hard one. This might have been the hardest one, because Monte Morris is so fundamentally sound. He doesn't have weaknesses in his game. He really only has physical weaknesses, and that's why my wish list for him, the one thing I would like to see him improve, was his strength. And he's a guy that you don't want him adding too much body weight. I mean, he's got really skinny bone structure. You know, he's not a guy that can carry, you know, 10, 15, 20 pounds of extra weight. But it's not about weight, it's about strength. And he can be a guy, and I anticipate he will be, really hard worker, that just gets wiry strong and can strengthen his body and just get physically his core a little bit tighter and stronger. And for me, I think that's going to be a big part of it. One theory that there's probably a lot of different confluence of reasons of why he sort of struggled in the postseason. But one of them can be just that the playoffs get a little bit more physical. They get a little bit more rough and tumble. The referees let a little bit more go. And with his slender size, you know, he maybe had a little bit to adjust and probably learned something in his game that he had to improve. So I would say for him, it would probably be stronger. But look, Monte Morris is, in my opinion, he's operating near max capacity for what he can be. He can get a little bit quicker. He can get a little bit, you know, better finishing at the rim or whatever. But he's just so fundamentally sound that it's really more physical traits for him that he can improve the margins on, and strength is certainly one of them. Will Barton. To analyze Will Barton, I went back 2 years. Let's throw out last year. I know that you can't fully throw it out, but I think for the purposes of this exercise, I'm going to more look at the Will Barton of 2 years ago than here. And honestly, there's a lot of similarities. My thing with him, my number one thing I would pick for him on my wish list is that he picks his spots a little bit better. And this has sort of been true of him his whole career. I think fans have exaggerated in the past, although certainly last year was not a case. He was not nearly good enough to do some of the freelancing that he did. But I love Barton the facilitator. I like Barton the scorer too. He's great when he's on. He's thrilling. He can be really, really good bucket getter, and he's a natural born bucket getter. But I think his passing is so underrated. He is one of the best passers on this team, and certainly from the guard position, he's one of the best like just pick and roll playmakers. But I think that he can move the scale a little bit more, especially with all of the weapons. Gary Harris kind of coming back to health. Jamal Murray continuing to improve. Obviously Jokic. As this more and more, this team kind of grows up and gets more and more scoring options, I'd like that scale to move a little bit more in the passing angle for him, because I think Will Barton's really valuable to this team as a playmaker. And he's certainly valuable as a scorer as well, but I'd like to see a little bit more facilitating out of him. And if he does that this year, I think it's really going to be, I think he's going to have a really, really, really important role. We've talked about how he's played the point guard position in a pinch. And I don't think he's a point guard. I hope he doesn't play a lot of point guard, but I do think that there's scenarios. Like if he can just be a little bit better at the facilitating and better at picking his spots at those about when to try to score, then I think you can start to play Jamal Murray off ball, where he is so good. He is so deadly as an off ball player. You throw Monte Morris and Jamal Murray out there, you're a little bit small. You throw Will Barton and Jamal Murray out there, and obviously Jamal Murray is still the point guard in that lineup, but you allow Barton to sort of expand his wings as a playmaker a little bit more in those lineups. And I think it's a real positive for Jamal Murray and would be really good for the whole team as a whole. For Jerami Grant, I'm going to continue to hammer this one home for Jerami Grant. You'll hear me talk about it. You've already heard me talk about it a little bit, but I'm going to talk about it a lot going forward. It's offensive rebounding. This was the easiest one of every player on the team. I think Jerami Grant's going to fit in great. Defensively, I think he can be incredible. But offensive rebounding, he has just never been an elite offensive rebounder. I haven't watched his film enough to know how much of this was the design of the offense, how much of this is he doesn't not very aggressive. You know, some teams, there's a trade-off between offensive rebounding and transition defense. And if you're really good offensive rebounding team, you can have that impact where teams stop running on you because it's like, we got to crash the offensive glass. And Denver's one of those teams. The way they spread you out, the way Jokic is just so massive and so good at like reading the court, you know, he puts pressure on the defense to rebound the ball. So, but I think that Jerami Grant had in Oklahoma City, maybe that scale slided a little bit in the other direction where he's always just kind of sprinting back to prevent transition opportunities. But here in Denver, I think he can really elevate the team more by trying to hit that offensive glass using his athleticism and just see where that takes him. So easy one for me there. Would love to see him become a beast on the offensive glass because I think Denver, with his athleticism, those lineups that have like Gary Harris, maybe Malik Beasley and Jerami Grant all in them alongside Jokic and Murray, that's a lot of athleticism. And if you just put that pressure on the in transition offensively, so you get the defensive stop and you sprint out, which he's very good at, but then also the offensive rebounding and you just make teams, you know, it's exhausting. Think about it. When the ball's popping and you have to make multiple rotations, then you have to sprint to find a body to put your body on somebody to box out. And by the way, they're athletes. It's exhausting. So for him to become a better offensive rebounder, I think will really take Denver's offense to a whole nother level. Let's take a break. The core four, when we come back, Paul Millsap, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic. Some fun ones in store with coming up. We'll be right back. New jam for you. I gotta find some new music for the season. It's on the docket, on the list of things to do. I like this one though. Segment 3, the final segment wrapping up. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Don't forget to check out the other shows in the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Broncos with Cody Rourke. We got Locked On Rockies with Jenna Garcia. You got Locked On whatever you want. You want, you're sick of the Broncos and you want to go talk about another team or listen to another team, go check them out. You want to get the inside scoop on somebody in the NBA or Major League Baseball, go check that out as well. Lots of good shows in the network. And then, of course, listen to me on Fridays on Locked On NBA with Anthony Irwin. All right, let's get into it. The last segment here, Paul Millsap. If I'm looking at what players can improve or what I'm hoping they've improved on, Millsap, the old dog on the team. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. So maybe we shouldn't expect too many new things, but there is one area that I think he can really improve on, and that's the quicker release on his three. Obviously, the better percentage. Love to see, and that's an area that's somewhat realistic. You know, he could make marginal improvements. I don't think he's going to be a 40% guy, but he could be a 37% guy, especially I imagine his game will become more and more perimeter-oriented and less, you know, more lower and lower usage. And his shooting from the corners especially can be a huge boom to the Nuggets offense. But one thing about Millsap is his release is really, really slow. And I would love to see him sort of speed that up. Now, it's hard to speed up your release and improve the percentage. So it's kind of a tall task. But right now, I don't know that he has a ton of gravity in large part because it's easy to close out on him. It just takes so long for him to get that shot off. So if he can just get a little bit quicker with his release, get lower and on the catch, get that shot, like catching it right in the pocket so that he can go right into a shooting motion, I think that would help out a ton. For Gary Harris, well, health, if I was going to take the easy route out here, I would say Gary Harris improve on his health. But You know, that's largely out of his control. Your body is, it just does what it does. And a lot of his injuries have been, you know, just unfortunate, in my opinion, just unfortunate things, not indicative of what might be coming. But for Gary Harris, what I would try to improve, more cutting. As his game has expanded, he has started to handle the ball more in pick and rolls. He started to do some other things. But I miss the Gary Harris that was cutting all of the time. That was him and Jokic were on that wavelength, and he was always getting the back doors. Maybe some of this has to do with Millsap being in there clogging up space. But this year with Jeremy Grant out there, maybe Michael Porter Jr. at the four even sometimes, Juancho Hernangómez, I think there's going to be a lot of spacing. And I would just love to see Gary Harris cutting more to the basket and receiving more of those backdoor cuts from Jokic. If he's doing that, I think the Nuggets are in a that means the Nuggets are rolling and they're in a really, really good place offensively. So it's something we know he can do. It's not necessarily adding a skill. It's more about finding how can he get back to doing that, even with Millsap on the court. How can he get back to cutting like he was before? If I was to say another skill, and here's the thing about Gary. He just gets better every year. I mean, that's a guy that's always in the gym. He's never on Instagram and Twitter showing you that he's in the gym. But he's always working. Well known, and it's talked about around Pepsi Center that he has an incredible work ethic and is just a super driven guy. You can see it. The guys that are ripped the way that he is ripped, they don't get that way by accident. Some of these guys in the NBA, you know, natural born athletes, and you know they can look pretty good. But you don't look like Gary Harris, a freaking Terminator, without putting in an enormous amount of work. And that guy is just sculpted out of marble. but the only other thing I would say about him is, you know, and continue to improve as a pick and roll playmaker. And I think he's gotten sneaky great at this. But if there's another leap to be made in him, if he's even better at it than, you know, he's at a Will Barton level as a playmaker in the pick and roll, just the ability to pass off of lots of different angles and different speeds and changes of pace, then Gary Harris is going to be he's just going to be an absolute hoss. Jamal Murray, 3-point shooting off the dribble. This is a new fundamental. It didn't used to be a thing. And with Murray, you could say 3-point shooting overall. I mean, Murray, this is the year that Murray needs to be close to 40%, in my opinion, on the same volume, if not an increased amount of volume. I'm gonna make a prediction here. I think I am, and I'm going to talk more about this in the future, but I think that Jokic is going to have a lower minute total, lower games played, and lower usage than he has each of the last couple seasons. I think Jokic might, it's not that he's going to have his foot off of the gas pedal, but I think that there is going to be a little bit of just, you know, we're going to take our time with Jokic. He had a very long season. He carried enormous amount of the workload last year, had a short summer. And I think that, you know, he's going to need to be carried a little bit. And one way that you can really open up the Nuggets offense, not even just about carrying Jokic, but one way you can really open up the things that Jokic does effortlessly is by knocking down that pull-up three-pointer when teams try to go under you. And with Jamal Murray, with some players, you know, like a Torrey Craig, the team goes under you and they go hard under you so that you have time to sort of set your feet and go up. With Jamal Murray, teams are going to be scrambling and hedging and showing and all these different things. He's not going to have a huge pocket to kind of get shots off. But, you know, the great guards, especially the great off-the-dribble shooters, your Kyries, your Steph Currys, your Kemba Walkers, your Damian Lillards, those guys, they know how to read that so quickly that when you go under just a hair, they're already going into their shooting motion, got their feet set, their fundamentals are perfect, so they can get into that shooting motion. And I think with Jamal Murray, that's one area he can really continue to improve on. And oh, by the way, you know, he's not the most explosive guy, but the more you can knock down that shot consistently, the more teams are going to have to trail you in the pick and roll, and the more you're going to get into the teeth of the defense, into the paint, to the rim, and score, and just get a lot more buckets there and easier buckets there. So I think Jamal Murray's game really opens up if he starts to hit that off-the-dribble three-point shot. Last year, 33.8% on 210 attempts, which honestly isn't bad. You know, basically 34%. It's not bad. A catch and shoot three-pointer in the NBA is a really tough shot, and for a 22-year-old to shoot that well, that's impressive. But if he can get that up to same number of attempts, if not more, 210, maybe he can get that up to 260, 270. So you're basically taking one extra one per game, but you're shooting 35, 36%, maybe 37% on that specific shot, then I think you're really in a good place and the Nuggets offense will absolutely roll. You add that extra spacing that Jeremy Grant provides at the power forward position, or Juancho Hernangómez, or Michael Porter Jr. You add that extra spacing, and you force the defense to come over the top. The Nuggets are going to score 117 points, 115, 116 points per 100 possessions, basically 116 points per game, and they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. So Murray, this is the year of Murray. You know, last year was the year of Jokic, and I think the last, like, 3 years were the year of Jokic, but last year especially was, like, Jokic's ascension to a top 10 player. This is the year of Murray where it's within the capability that he makes that giant leap, and if he does, it changes the entire narrative and entire trajectory of the Nuggets. Last but certainly not least, Nikola Jokic, the team superstar. His is a weird one. I've talked about this a little bit, but mental toughness, to me, that's going to be it. I'm really concerned about his mental fatigue, how burnt out he is. He famously does not like talking to the media, in large part because he gets asked the same questions. And I think fans are always like, oh, yeah, of course he's annoyed. Look, Damian Lillard gets asked the same questions all the time. He handles it incredibly gracefully and thoughtfully, and sometimes provides really unique and insightful answers. There's guys around the league that just sort of have that professionalism and understanding. And first of all, I'm using this. Jokic's mental toughness is a lot more about the basketball. I'm just using this as an example. So Jokic this year, just I hope he's not short-tempered, gets too annoyed, and is just not enjoying himself. He's got to find a way to he's always at his best when he's happy and enjoying himself, and he's got to find a way to be happy and be content even with all of the obstacles, because I think this year for him in particular, the regular season will probably start out at least a little bit less fun than years past, and I hope that he just has the right mind frame to handle it. And that's the one thing I would add to him. We didn't necessarily see that in the World Cup, although there were some weird, there were some maybe different dynamics. I think Michael Malone really gets Jokic. And I think there's a lot of understanding about how to approach him. So I'm really curious. I think Michael Malone has a tough job this year, quite frankly, on a lot of different levels. But one of them is about just managing Jokic. How does he push Jokic to be his best, not allow him to use the fatigue and mental fatigue as an excuse, while at the same time understanding that it's a very real thing that he has to sort of manage? That's a tough task for Michael Malone to make. But the onus, of course, falls on Jokic, and that's the one thing I would hope that he brings to the table this year is a better mental toughness. Maybe they should make a challenge for him. Maybe Michael Malone this year makes a challenge about technical fouls. Lowest technical fouls of your career. Let's see if you can do that. Almost issue a challenge to him for that. Maybe it even becomes a fun game where you say, okay, 10 games ahead of us. If you get one technical foul or fewer, and we win at least 7 of the games, you get to rest on the 10th game or so. Something like that, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's a fun little sub-game to play with him or something like that. But the mental toughness thing, I think, is going to be a real one for him, and it's the thing that I'm interested to see how he handles that challenge. But that's it for today, guys. It's going to be a fun one. We'll do a mailbag on Friday heading into the weekend. Look forward to that one. Check out Locked On Nuggets on Twitter so you can see where to get your mailbag questions in. And we'll try to have a little bit of fun with that. Hope you enjoyed this one. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating. We're approaching the season. Help me pick up followers. Now without the behemoth Denver Stiffs behind me, it's going to be important that you're sharing this podcast with your friends, sharing it on social media, leaving 5-star reviews, and maybe writing a nice note in there if you enjoy the show. That'll help the show grow and find new followers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Can't wait to talk to you on Friday. I can't wait for the week ahead. So many fun things coming up. I hope you're excited as well. We'll see you all then.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.